If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Welcome to the AI Daily Rundown, October 17th, 2025. Your daily briefing on the real-world business impact of AI. We have a packed agenda today, covering strategic moves and societal shifts. We start in the labs where DeepMind is bringing AI to the core of nuclear fusion, and Google's Gemma-based AI finds new cancer treatments. On the enterprise front, Anthropic turns to skills to make Claude more useful at work, while they also release the fast, low-cost Claude Haiku 4.5. But on the public stage, we're seeing friction. OpenAI suspends Sora depictions of Martin Luther King Jr. due to policy concerns, and a new Pew poll shows global AI concern outweighs excitement. Plus, Amazon Ring cameras are moving deeper into law enforcement. Quick pause. Are you still marketing to the general public? Stop. Your platform solves the hardest challenge in tech, getting secure, compliant AI into production at scale. We are the single destination for senior enterprise leaders, CTOs, VPs of engineering, and MLOPs heads. This is a direct line to your most valuable buyers. Secure your mid-roll ad spot immediately by emailing us at info@djamgaytech.com. Finally, on the productivity side, Microsoft wants AI to control your PC by voice, and Google's upgraded Veo 3.1 can now turn photos into personal branding videos. It's an aggressive market, and you need to know where the next opportunity or the next risk lies. That's why you subscribe. If you love these daily briefings, please take a moment right now to like and subscribe to the podcast. All this and more on today's AI Daily Rundown. Stick with us.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we're embarking on a mission, really, to make sense of one of the most, well, dizzying 24-hour periods in tech history recently.
Yeah.
We've gathered a whole stack of sources from just one single day, October 17th, 2025. And it really shows the AI industry kind of hitting massive new peaks.
Right.
But also, at the same time, running headfirst into some pretty serious ethical and societal speed bumps. It's like acceleration meets friction all at once.
That tension is exactly it. That's why we need to dig in. There's just this flood of information, right? And our job today is to boil it down for you into, let's say, three core themes.
Okay.
First, we've got to get our heads around the new economics of intelligence, this idea of intelligence getting almost too cheap to meter.
Okay. Intelligence too cheap to meter. Got it. What's second?
Second, we track AI making this really aggressive move. I mean, frankly, it's a bit unnerving, into managing critical real-world systems, actually running things.
Moving from just modeling the world to, yeah, actually running parts of it.
Exactly. And then third, we have to confront the immediate fallout, the friction points, how society is reacting, where the ethical guardrails are maybe bending or breaking, and just what the future of trustworthy information even looks like now.
Okay, three big themes. And when you talk about intelligence getting cheap, I mean, those Anthropic numbers seem like the perfect place to kick off.
Yeah.
Let's unpack that idea, price collapsing faster than performance. So Anthropic just put out Claude Haiku 4.5. Now, Haiku is usually their smallest model, right? The entry-level one.
That's right. The most accessible.
But this version, it seems like it just resets the whole benchmark for cost efficiency. It's giving performance, apparently, that's comparable to their big flagship model from just months ago, Claude Sonnet 4.
Mm-hmm.
But the pricing, that seems to be the real headline grabber here.
Oh, it really is. It's a genuine paradigm shift. So Sonnet 4, that was costing $3 per $1 million input tokens.
Okay, $3.
Haiku 4.5, it slashes that down to just $1 per $1 million input tokens.
$1. Wow.
Yeah. Think about that. The ability to process a huge amount of text or data just got three times cheaper, basically overnight.
Okay, but if it's the smallest model, like you said, is there a catch? Does this super cheap intelligence mean we're going to see, I don't know, an explosion of low quality bots or more deepfakes or just spam everywhere? Does that cost cut come with a big performance hit?
Well, that's what's so fascinating this time. There's almost no trade-off performance-wise. Our sources are confirming that even though it's smaller, Haiku 4.5 actually beats the older Sonnet 4 on several key professional benchmarks.
That's Really? Like what?
Things like advanced math problems, using tools like software agents, interacting with computers. It's actually better at those. And get this, on some specific tests, it's even getting close to the capability of much bigger models like GPT-5.
Wow.
The pace is just, it's incredible. The baseline capability is accelerating so fast that, yeah, cost and size aren't really the best indicators of what these models can do anymore.
So yesterday's like peak performance is today's cheap commodity input. Wild. But it's not just the model itself improving, right? Hmm. It's also about making that cheap intelligence usable, organizing it. That's where this new skills feature for Claude comes in.
Exactly. Skills are, well, they're a really clever bit of engineering. They basically let Claude act like a true general-purpose automation agent.
How does that work practically?
So think of them as specialized folders. Inside each folder, there's a simple text file, like Markdown, explaining a task, and maybe some actual code scripts. So a company could quickly build little tools for, say, checking compliance documents or analyzing sales data fast.
Okay, but doesn't loading up all those different instructions and scripts bog the model down? Use up a ton of tokens, make it expensive again?
Yeah, but that's the clever part, the token efficiency hack. See, Claude only loads the full detailed instructions and scripts if your request actually needs that specific skill.
How does it know?
It just reads a tiny description first, like a little summary in what's called YAML front matter. It decides based on that short bit whether to pull in the heavy stuff.
I see.
Which means you could have like an army of these cheap haiku agents, each doing a specialized task in parallel, and maybe have a slightly smarter model like the new Sonnet 4.5. acting as the conductor, the coordinator.
Okay, yeah, I can see businesses jumping all over that. Automating complex workflows just got way, way cheaper.
That's definitely.
And it's not just Anthropic making the model smarter. The whole foundation underneath AI, the engineering stack, that's getting upgrades too.
Precisely. We're seeing massive improvements all over. Take Cognition, for instance. They just released tools called SWE Grep and SWE Grep Mini.
SWE Grep, what's that for?
They're specifically designed to speed up finding relevant bits of code. You know, when an AI is working on a huge software project, it needs to quickly pull up the right sections of code to understand the context.
Right.
SWE Grep makes that whole process 10 times faster, which means less waiting. The model feels much more responsive.
Okay, faster code handling. And then you mentioned MIT tackling the context window problem. That's the issue where models kind of forget the beginning if you give them too much info, right?
Exactly. Context window fatigue. It's a fundamental bottleneck. MIT came up with something called recursive language models, or RLM.
Recursive language models. Okay.
Yeah. RLM is this like ingenious workaround. It makes the model call itself recursively. So when it's about to hit its memory limit on a long document, it sort of summarizes the part it's already read and then feeds that summary plus the next chunk of the original text back into itself as new input.
Wait, wait, hold on. That sounds complex, but the result, you said the result was staggering.
It is. An RLM-powered model, they tested it with a modified GPT-5 mini model. It outperformed the full-size original GPT-5 by an incredible 114% on long context benchmarks.
114%. How does a mini version crush the flagship like that?
Because the main challenge isn't just raw intelligence anymore. It's how efficiently you handle these really long, complex tasks. That 114% isn't about being generally smarter. It's about staying accurate and coherent when dealing with documents that would just overwhelm a standard model.
Right.
RLM basically changes the physics of how much information a model can effectively process. It makes that cheap intelligence we were just talking about genuinely useful for enormous tasks, like reviewing massive legal contracts or scientific literature.
Okay, so that infrastructure revolution, the cheaper models, the better context handling, it sets the stage perfectly for our second theme, doesn't it? AI moving beyond just, you know, lab experiments and simulations to actually becoming a core manager of really high-stakes real-world systems. It's crossing this line from predicting things to actively controlling them.
And you couldn't find a more dramatic example than in the energy sector. Look at nuclear fusion. Google DeepMind partnered with Commonwealth Fusion Systems.
Is that fair?
They built Torax. It's an AI system specifically designed to control the plasma inside the spark fusion reactor.
And we're talking about controlling plasma that's hotter than the sun, right?
You're right.
Over 100 million degrees. That's inherently unstable stuff.
Exactly. Wildly unstable. Traditional control systems just can't react fast enough to the chaos happening at the millisecond level. Torax uses reinforcement learning. Think of it learning from trial and error at light speed.
Okay.
To make millions of tiny, precise adjustments every single second to keep that plasma stable.
Oh.
A human operator couldn't even conceive of doing that.
A millions per second.
So the big takeaway here isn't just that AI is helping fusion research. It's that AI is the fundamental operational layer now. It's what makes the reactor actually work. Future energy companies, they'll be competing based on their AI control algorithms just as much as their reactor hardware.
So AI is literally running the core infrastructure of the future.
Yeah.
That's quite a leap. Are we seeing that same kind of operational control being applied inside the human body, which is, you know, infinitely complex in medicine, for instance?
We absolutely are. And with equally high stakes, take cancer research. Google DeepMind, again, using their C2S scale model, it's built on their Gemma architecture. It generated a completely new hypothesis, a really specific idea for how to make certain types of cancer more vulnerable to the patient's own immune system.
What was the AI's specific idea? How did it propose doing that?
Okay, so it predicted that a particular existing drug called silmetacesertib could significantly boost something called antigen presentation. That's basically how immune cells recognize cancer cells as bad guys.
Right, make them more visible.
Exactly. But here's the key. The AI predicted this would only work effectively if immune signaling pathways were already slightly active.
Ah, so it's conditional. Not just use this drug, but use it under these specific circumstances.
Precisely. That conditional nuance is critical. It's not a blunt prediction. It's a refined one.
Did it work? Did lab tests actually confirm this very specific AI-generated idea?
Yeah.
That alone would be huge.
They did confirm it. The researchers ran experiments on human neuroendocrine cancer cells in the lab, and they found antigen presentation shot up by 50%.
50%.
When they combined silmetacertib with just a very low dose of interferon, which gently activates those immune signals the AI pointed to.
Incredible. So the AI didn't just analyze data faster, it actually proposed a novel, testable, and confirmed treatment strategy.
It accelerated the discovery process itself.
Yes. And the big players, they clearly see this is the future. OpenAI just hired Alex Lipsaska, a theoretical physicist specializing in black holes, for their new science initiative.
Yeah, and Lipsaska's own story kind of sums it up perfectly. Yeah. He mentioned that GPT-5 Pro solved a physics problem, something that took him days of work. It solved it in under 30 minutes.
Wow. Okay.
So the goal of OpenAI's new science unit is pretty explicit. They want to push AI-driven scientific discovery. Their VP even stated publicly that GPT-5 already shows, quote, limited novel research abilities in fields from quantum theory to molecular biology.
Limited novel research abilities.
Yeah. The AI is rapidly going from being a super-powered search engine or data analyzer to becoming an actual co-author, almost, in generating new scientific knowledge.
Okay, that level of acceleration, the power, the potential, it leads us straight into our third theme, the friction. The immediate rub against society. How is this incredibly capable, incredibly cheap intelligence changing how we interact with computers day to day? And, maybe more importantly, how's the world reacting to all this power being unleashed? Let's start with just the basic interface.
Well, Microsoft is making a huge bet on voice. They're pushing hard to make voice the third main way we interact with Windows 11, right alongside the mouse and keyboard. They're rolling out the Hey Copilot wake word system-wide.
So the idea is the AI agent is just always listening, ready to take commands across any application.
Pretty much, they want it to be proactive, ready to jump in and help anywhere in the OS.
And part of that is literally watching what's on your screen, isn't it? Copilot Vision.
That's Copilot Vision, yeah. It's an opt-in feature. They're testing it in Copilot Labs right now. But yes, if you turn it on, it streams the content of your screen text, windows, images to the AI.
Why? What's the benefit?
So it can offer contextual help, you know, like how do I do X in this program? Or help troubleshoot if something's going wrong right there on your screen.
Okay, I can see how that could be amazing for tech support or learning new software. But honestly, the idea of the OS constantly watching my screen, even opt-in, it gives me a slight chill, I have to admit.
It definitely raises the privacy stakes, yeah. Meanwhile, Google's pushing ahead on the multimedia generation side. Veo 3.1, their latest video model, it's adding richer audio, more realism to the clips it generates.
Uh-huh.
And they've got tools like Flow, which let you take AI-generated photos and instantly turn them into little branded video clips, complete with sound, text overlays, that kind of thing.
Like instantly creating social media content from an idea.
Exactly. Which, of course, brings us right up against probably the biggest ethical friction point we're seeing.
Right.
How do we manage personal likeness, deepfakes, and just the basic integrity of information when creating realistic media is this easy.
And we saw a really stark example of that friction just now with OpenAI's Sora video model, didn't we?
We did. OpenAI had to suspend Sora from generating videos depicting Martin Luther King Jr. This was after his estate requested it, because some really disrespectful, frankly offensive, videos had surfaced online.
Yeah, I heard about those. Things like Dr. King making monkey noises or wrestling Malcolm X. Just awful stuff.
Truly awful. And that incident forced OpenAI to make immediate, concrete changes to their safety guardrails. They're strengthening them. And now they're also allowing representatives for other major historical figures to proactively say, no, don't use this person's likeness.
So the guardrails are being built reactively, basically, in response to public outrage, not necessarily ahead of time.
That's often how it seems to work, yes. It highlights the challenge.
But that's the issue of, like, malicious use. There's also this slower, maybe more systemic problem, eroding trust and even funding for reliable information sources. And it seems to be hitting Wikipedia hard.
That's right. Wikimedia, the foundation behind Wikipedia, they're reporting an 8% drop in page views year over year. 8%.
Wow, that's significant for them. And they think it's because of AI.
They're directly blaming generative AI search summaries. You know, you type a question into Google or Bing, you get the answer right there in a paragraph generated by AI.
And you never click through to the original Wikipedia article.
Exactly. So Wikimedia warns this is hurting their volunteer community. People are less motivated to contribute if no one sees their work. And it's seriously threatening their funding model, which relies on donations driven by traffic.
Which ultimately risks the quality of the information on Wikipedia itself. That's a huge potential loss for the open web.
It really is. They're now publicly asking the AI companies and search engines to be much clearer about citing their sources, trying to drive some traffic back to the original articles.
It feels like a real crisis point for shared knowledge online. And meanwhile, the official safety bodies seem to be saying things are getting riskier, not safer.
Yeah, the International AI Safety Report just put out its first key update. And the assessment was pretty blunt. Safety risks are increasing. They cited concerns across the board. The model's performance is improving rapidly. Adoption is widespread. But oversight is lagging behind.
That sounds like a recipe for anxiety. Which seems to be reflected in global public opinion now.
It absolutely is. A big new Pew Research poll confirms it. Globally, anxiety and concern about the rise of AI now officially outweigh excitement.
Really? Across the board?
Pretty much. Right. The survey covered 25 countries, and it found really significant levels of anxiety. About half the people surveyed in places like the US, Italy, Australia, Greece. They specifically reported feeling anxious about AI's impact.
Who was more optimistic?
The most optimistic countries tended to be Israel, South Korea, and Sweden. But overall, anxiety is the dominant feeling now.
And who do people trust to manage this, to regulate it?
Well, that's another tricky part. The regulatory trust landscape is really fractured. The European Union actually came out on top. 53% of people globally expressed confidence in the EU to regulate AI effectively.
Okay, 53% for the EU. How did others compare?
Significantly lower. The U.S. government only got 37% confidence, and China got just 27%. So there's a real lack of global consensus or trust in any single entity leading the way.
Interesting. Any other key findings from that poll?
Yeah, one very consistent finding was a generational divide. Younger adults, those under 35, they are consistently more optimistic about AI and also just generally more aware of the technology and its uses compared to people over 50. That age gap in perception is really sharp.
Okay, so anxiety is up, trust in regulators is patchy, and there's a generational split. Well, finally, let's touch on how AI is impacting public discourse itself, specifically around things like protests. Our sources suggested AI is playing a role on both sides.
It's a real double-edged sword. That's the core tension. On one side, you have recommender algorithms on social media, news feeds that will inevitably amplify the most emotionally charged content.
Like the shouting, the clashes.
Exactly. Which can easily distort the reality of an event, maybe make things seem more intense or divided than they are. But then on the other side, you have cities using AI. They're fusing data from camera networks with social media signals to predict crowd movements.
Ostensibly to prevent things like stampedes or dangerous crushes.
That's the stated goal. Yeah. Safety. But of course, it immediately raises concerns about over-surveillance and potentially chilling dissent.
And the people actually involved in protests, they're using AI too, right?
Absolutely. There's a high risk of misinformation, think deepfaked audio or video of officials, or recirculating old footage out of context to stir things up. But conversely, organizers on all sides, activists, counter-protesters, political campaigns, They'll all be deploying AI, probably large language models, to craft and amplify their messaging, potentially creating waves of coordinated, maybe inauthentic online activity.
So AI isn't just watching the public square anymore. It's actively shaping the debate, the perception, maybe even the outcomes.
It's becoming embedded in the dynamics of public assembly and dissent. Yes.
What a day. October 17th, 2025. Just incredibly dense. Okay, let's try and step back and pull out those three core takeaways for you listening. First, AI performance is hitting new highs at, frankly, rock-bottom prices now.
Right. That shift from Sonnet 4 down to Haiku 4.5 price-wise really cements that trend. Intelligence too cheap to meter is becoming reality.
Second, this tech is moving fast beyond the lab. It's gaining real operational control over critical high-stakes systems in the real world. It's moving from just modeling things to actually managing them.
Yeah, whether that's stabilizing plasma for fusion power or, amazingly, generating confirmed hypotheses for cancer treatments, it's hands-on now.
And third, all these incredible advances, they're happening against a backdrop of rising global anxiety. We're seeing ethical guardrails being tested and sometimes failing in real time. Public trust in regulation is low. And worry about AI's impact on society is now the dominant global feeling.
That's the landscape. Acceleration meeting friction.
Okay, so here's the final provocative thought we want to leave you with. It ties right back to the beginning, to those economics. That shift from a $3 model to a $1 model, while also giving it these skills to chain together cheap, specialized agents.
Mm.
That happened in just a few months.
Mm-hmm.
So if intelligence is genuinely becoming almost free, too cheap to meter, what happens to the value of the market for complex human expertise? I don't just mean executing specific tasks, with the Haiku agents are getting good at that, but the really human part, the coordination, the integration, the ability to connect specialized knowledge from different domains.
Right. When you can potentially deploy, you know, an army of cheap, efficient Haiku agents to handle dozens of specific parallel tasks, maybe the real bottleneck, the truly valuable skill, isn't generating the intelligence itself anymore. Maybe it's the human ability to orchestrate all that intelligence, to manage it effectively, to synthesize the outputs, to make the strategic calls.
The cost of raw intelligence might be collapsing, but perhaps the value of human judgment and orchestration is about to skyrocket. Something to keep in mind as you watch the next waves of AI headlines roll in.
Definitely food for thought.
Until next time, keep digging deeper.
That's it for today's deep dive. We hope you walked away with actionable insights for your enterprise strategy. Before you go, let me remind you of the unparalleled value of this platform. AI Unraveled delivers deep, uncompromised technical insight that keeps our audience, senior enterprise leaders, tuned in to the very last minute. That sustained attention is the best place for your ad. This is your opportunity for a direct line to your most valuable buyers, the CTOs, VPs of engineering, and MLOps heads who sign off on high-stakes infrastructure. Stop wasting budget on general marketing noise. Secure your high-impact premium ad campaign right here. Email us today to reserve your mid-roll package, info@djamgatech.com. Thank you for listening to AI Unraveled. We'll be back tomorrow with more.